I have to admit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that even I am impressed with the video I made yesterday about Christians being stuck at Mount Sinai. I'm going to be talking to you a little bit more about Christianity. This is not a review. This is new because I am seeing more and more that this is the number one force of Satan's to dissuade people from the truth found in Paul's gospel and to keep the world from understanding the grace of God and the work of Jesus Christ on the cross for the sake of all humanity, that will result in the salvation of all humanity. I want you to send that video, yesterday's video, to everyone that you know. I mean, I'd have to say if I was at the creche with the wise men, the traditional conception of the creche of Christ, and I had no gift to bring. We know that the little drummer boy played the drums because he had nothing epic and valuable like gold, frankincense, and myrrh, so he played his drums for the baby Jesus. I would have no gift to bring either of any obvious worldly worth. I would not have my drum with me, so I would offer this video. I would say, well, I have no gift to bring, baby Jesus, Mary, Joseph. But I did make this video where I compared Christians to the Flintstones, and I offer it to you today, and I think it would be well received. The Christians are stuck in the Stone Age as far as they still see salvation as a deal between them and God. Let's ride with the Flintstones. They're the modern Stone Age family from the town of Bedrock. They're a page right out of history. This is the Christian religion. They're the modern Stone Age group. They're modern in their presentation, but they're Stone Age in their teaching. They go back to a bygone era that was not even meant to work. From the town of Bedrock, they're a page right out of history, and they are. They're a page out of ancient times, the Stone Age, where they're still trying to please God with their behavior. What is Satan's main problem? Well, it stems from Acts 26:26. I'm going to read to you a verse that I've never read to you. It seems like a simple thing, but this is what sent Satan into alarm mode. And I know that I'm speaking to some people who probably doubt the existence of Satan. They think it's primitive to believe that there is this supernatural evil being that opposes the truth. I would ask those people, who was Jesus Christ talking to during the days of his trial in the wilderness? Was Satan a figment of his imagination? Who possessed Judas Iscariot? When scripture says Satan entered Judas Iscariot. If you don't believe that Satan is real, then Satan's quite happy with you. The greatest defense he can have against scrutiny is for people to not even believe he exists. So what a great coup that is for the prince of darkness, to make people doubt his existence. Even better, the Christian caricature of Satan as a obviously evil-looking creature with horns and a pointy tail, the whole cartoon image of Satan that fits right in with his plans. But Satan had a big problem at the cross of Christ. This is why. Paul is testifying before King Agrippa in Caesarea. And he says to Agrippa that he knows that Agrippa is aware of the things relating to Jesus Christ. Paul gives this reason for it. For this is not a thing that has been committed in a corner. This is not a thing that has been committed in a corner. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary was the centerpiece of the Aeonian times. It's the most reported on event in the history of the world. There has been more written about it, more art depicting it than any other event in human history. And if you think it was not done in a corner on the earth, it certainly was not done in a corner to the celestial world. Oh, Satan was making notes. And now he had something that could not be denied. It was there for all to see. Paul says in another place that Jesus Christ despoiled the powers of darkness, made an open show of them. And so Satan was basically a defeated enemy on that day. And it couldn't be denied. But what it could be was lied about. What it could be was diffused. Satan, being the father of lies, he's a liar and the father of lies, he can construct a system that keeps people from understanding what happened at the cross, not only for all humanity, but for the entire universe. How does he do that? That's the question he asked himself. How do I do that? What he did was he invented a religion. He invented a system of, quote, worship. He invented a system of behavior. He invented a Stone Age mentality that would be dressed up in the language of grace, in the language of salvation. And as the greatest coup ever, as the greatest strategy ever, he would actually put the name of Jesus Christ on it to make people think that it was not only authored by, but supported by, and heralded by Jesus Christ himself. And what he did, this might sound fantastic to you, but I have proof. What he did was he invented a religion. I return you to Daniel chapter 7. I've done talks on that before, where Daniel sees four beasts coming out of the sea. Four winds blowing four beasts. The wind speaks of spirit. And there are four of them, and there are only four religions on the face of the earth. It's not my purpose to get into what each of these beasts represents, which particular religion they represent. Suffice it for now to say that they do represent religions, and that the westernmost beast was the most ferocious religion of all, and it is Christianity. When we read in the law that we are not to take the Lord's name in vain, how many Christians believe that means you're not supposed to say bad words? But I say to you that taking the Lord's name, his name in vain, has nothing to do with saying, God damn it, when you look at your electric bill, or saying Jesus Christ when your radiator blows a hose. Nothing to do with that. It has to do with taking his name upon you, calling yourself by the title Christ, i.e. Christian, or saying that you believe in God, and yet not believing anything testified to by either Jesus Christ or God. Jesus Christ would put it this way himself, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men rather than the precepts of God. Now, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, for the rest, brethren, mine, be invigorated in the Lord and in the might of his strength. Put on the entire armor of God to enable you to stand up to the stratagems of the adversary. Now, adversary is another name for Satan. He's averse to us. He goes against us who believe the truth. And the word stratagems here is important because in that word itself, there is the implication of deceit. It's not a strategy, it's a stratagem. It's a trick. And we know that that's all Satan has left is tricks and lies and distractions. Paul says this, very important, for it is not ours to wrestle with blood and flesh, but with the sovereignties, with the authorities, with the world mights of this darkness, with the spiritual forces of wickedness among the celestials. Spiritual forces. These forces are spiritual. They meet spiritual truth with spiritual antagonism. Paul says it's not ours to wrestle with blood and flesh. What did Paul wrestle against? He wrestled against the Jews. That was his constant struggle, his constant battle. Who are the Jews but a religious contingent? And they also put a name on it. They called themselves Judaizers or Judas or Jews. They brought into the mix the son of Israel, Judah. And so they also took the name of a son of Israel, but they took it in vain, because they did not stand for the righteousness and truth that the patriarchs stood for. They had their own system of righteousness and truth, and they used it to become very proud, very arrogant, and to lord their precepts, their own private precepts, over the people, the sheep. And Jesus lamented that the sheep had no proper shepherd. So Paul wrestled against a religion. And he says here that the source of that religion is not blood and flesh, but it's supernatural. It comes from spiritual forces. It's organized spiritual forces listed here in order of power of their rank. Sovereignties, authorities, and world mights. The sovereignties are the most powerful spiritual beings of darkness, of wickedness, among the celestials. The authorities are the next set of influencers of religion here on earth. And the world mights, I believe those are the ones that are actually in the field making these things happen. And so Satan knew that he couldn't hide the fact that Jesus Christ had done this, because it was not done in a corner. But what he could do was dissuade anybody from believing it. And so he used human councils. He used Rome to make official Christianity as the official religion of the Roman Empire in the year 300 or whatever. Who was that? Constantine? And then the various teachings were added to it through various councils. For instance, the council at Nicaea. That was blood and flesh meeting at a table in Nicaea. And yet they developed, by some mysterious thoughts they had, for instance, the doctrine of the Trinity. And where eternal torment and free will came from, I don't specifically know, except that I know that they were made popular, because Satan loves to make it popular. He dresses it up with right-sounding terms. He clothes it with righteous-sounding phrases. But they are doctrines of demons, and they are formulated in the hypocrisy of false expressions. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, of course, Paul speaks of false apostles, fraudulent workers. They are apostles, they are workers, so they're in the field of circulating what appears to be a legitimate spiritual truth, and yet they're fraudulent and false. Paul says, why should this be a marvel? For Satan himself is being transfigured into a messenger of light. No great thing, then, if his servants also are being transfigured as dispensers of righteousness, whose consummation shall be in accord with their acts. And we know what their consummation is. It's destruction, as we read in Philippians 1:29, and also in Philippians, whose God is their bowels, whose end is destruction. Those who are opposing you, remember, destroyed for the eons. A satanically clever organization that puts the name of Christ on it, and yet withstands and opposes everything taught through Christ, especially those things taught by the glorified Christ through the Apostle Paul, who again wrestled with Jews and had to come to acknowledge that he was not wrestling against blood and flesh, even though that's how it manifested itself. The person opposing you, they're manifesting themselves right in front of you, but there's a spirit that's imploring them, that's actually operating through them. And these are malevolent spiritual beings whose sole mission in life, they've been sent here to keep our attention away from the truth. And what better way to do that than to dress up the falsehood in righteous-looking garb and to revert it to the Stone Age, to the stone law that came from Mount Sinai, that although it's pure and great and holy, humans can't do it. The design of it was to lead humanity in frustration to Christ. It was to point the way to Christ, to mercifully give people a practical example of how they can't enact God's wishes and desires. Therefore, they are to turn to another in helplessness and hopelessness. Then who can be saved? Jesus says, with humanity, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And what I'm hoping is possible today is for you to see the diabolical source of the religion known as Christianity. It is the source of the most insidious, far-reaching deception that has reached practically everyone in the world, because I doubt that there's a man, woman, or child on this planet who has not heard of the evil God who will damn you to some terrible fate, whether it's eternal torment or annihilation for eternity, not much difference. Some horrible fate because he was unable to save, or worse, he is counting on you to make your contribution. Satan loves that. When the teaching goes forward, that God is counting on you to produce something that he can use to add to the weight of your side of the equation to get salvation finished. This is in dire, dramatic opposition to the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." Satan says, "No, it's not finished. It's a mere offer. You have to finish it." Ladies and gentlemen, that is diabolical evil, and it comes to us in the form of a sheep known as Christianity.